WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Sal back here on The Fan. We are live at the Joe Torre Safe at Home Foundation Golf Outing, and we've had some great guests, Joe and his beautiful wife, Allie, which was fantastic. Tom Verducci hitting the Yankee in the Met angles. Liam Bazzilli, and now we got a guy who at the time, I mean, now it's easy. Oh, we love this guy. He was so amazing, but at the time, maybe one of the toughest transitions to come here, taking over for Don Mattingly. And of course, we're talking about the great Tino Martinez. Tino, it's BT and Sal. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Yeah, man, we had you on a couple of years ago. I probably asked you the same thing, but how daunting was it? Because even though Mattingly never won, you know how revered he is by every Yankee fan that ever watched him play. Maybe as much as Mickey Mantle, like from a comparative point of view, like the older generation. And you had to take over for him, and you didn't get off to a great start, and it was a little rough. I mean, what was that first month like for the Yankees before everything clicked and you guys started dominating?
Yeah, it was rough, but me, like everyone else, I was a big fan of Donnie as well. You know, I watched him, you know, I was in high school and college. He was already MVP guy in 85 and all that, and loved watching him play, and I was a big fan of his. And the fact that he had a great postseason in 95 when I was with the Mariners, and their team they had at that point was, you know, kind of ready to break loose. So when Donnie retired, I think, period, no matter who came in behind him, they're going to have a hard time. You know, it's going to be tough to really try to replace him. Which you can't replace him, you just got to be yourself. But it's hard to say that once you get there. So I, you know, obviously it was tough in the beginning because I wanted to be in New York. I loved playing in Yankee Stadium. But I just tried too hard from the beginning. You know, I wanted to prove to the fans that I'm a good player. I wanted to prove to my teammates that I'm a good player. And I just squeezing the bat a little bit, popping up balls right down the middle of the plate.
Yep.
And I just got off to a slow start. And it was a little tough in the beginning. But once I got going, I knew I was going to get going. And I knew that our team was good. And once we started winning and I was playing good, I knew everything would take care of itself.
Trying to pull the outside pitch, I'm sure, jack it in the porch, and roll it over to second, a five hopper. I get it. That must have been that must have been really, really hard. But I think one thing that served you very well, like if you're going to take over for somebody like Mattingly, the fact that you were I think it was very evident early, even when you were scuffling at the plate, a blue collar, hard worker, no nonsense, hustle kind of a player, even though you had a different swing than Donnie and a different bounce and a different athletic energy, I think we knew right away that this guy was all business, and it helped.
Yeah, it did. I knew the people here in New York, they want guys to go out there and work hard, play hard, no excuses. If you're playing bad, they're all blue-collar people. That's just the way the Yankee fans are. And our whole team was like that. So, you know, Donnie had this flair, though. You know, he's left-handed. He can scoop the ball. He just played with a lot of flair. And I didn't have that kind of flair. But, you know, I just tried to be myself and play my game. And I knew that I could play some good defense. And I knew that I'm going to hit, especially in Yankee Stadium. And I knew things would take care of themselves. But I wish I hadn't gotten off that slow start, though, because things would have been better earlier. But at the end of the day, you know, the fans love me after, you know, half of the year goes by, and I wouldn't trade it in for anything.
You know, I haven't had a chance to interview you before, Tino, and I must let you know that I grew up a Mets fan, and I despised you and those Yankee teams. And there are a couple things I think of when I think of Tino Martinez I want to get out of the way before we move on with the interview. Number one, can you finally admit that in the 98 World Series that Mark Langston threw you a strike before you hit the Grand Slam?
I cannot admit that.
Yeah, attaboy, it was Tino. A strike, Tino!
Attaboy!
You see it on TV every day. You watch it a game every day. That same pitch is in the bottom of that box. Sometimes they call it a strike, sometimes they call it a ball. And most catchers now grab that ball and they pull it up. And that's what happened in my pitch. It was at the knees. I mean, if you call it a strike, you call it a strike. But I thought it was a ball the whole time. And it could have gone either way.
Oh, for one, Sal.
But no, it doesn't matter, Sal. Sal, it doesn't matter.
It wouldn't have mattered. I admit it wouldn't have mattered. But come on. Oh, bring him up. Oh, my goodness. All right, and the next one, and this is maybe less of a question but more just a conversation. The other thing I think about, you got drilled right between the numbers from Benitez, obviously, at the start of that brawl. I mean, how's your back feeling? That must have hurt you for a while.
Yeah, of course it hurt, but it was just more shocking to me. I was in shock because, you know, Bernie had hit a home run right in front of me to tie the game in the bottom eighth, I believe it was. And the last thing you want to do is hit a guy with no outs and put the winning run on base. So I was not expecting that at all. And then when he hit me, I was just shocked. Like, why would he hit me? And then all of a sudden, you know, the
all hell broke.
The dugout, you know, whatever, and all hell broke loose, yeah. And
that had to be the scariest brawl you've ever been of. I mean, it went into the dugout. Graham Lloyd, Daryl Strawberry throwing those heavy fists. That was about as real as a baseball fight could possibly get.
Yeah, it was pretty scary because you're in the middle of all that. And it's just, you know, you don't know who's going to sucker punch you. You don't know who's going to, you know, take you out or kick you with a spike and stuff. So it was scary out there a little bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, it all worked out well for everyone. And I think I wouldn't say it brought us closer as a team because we were already tight and close. But it was something we had to go through, and it helped us.
All right, now we can move on with the rest of the interview. I had to get that out.
There you go. I love it. I love it. I love it. Tino Martinez with us here, BT and Sal, the band Tino. All right, so you come in 96, and Tony Fernandez was supposed to be the starting shortstop. I believe it was a broken arm, or not a wrist. It was a broken arm.
Yep.
Yep, so Derek gets a shot. Now, Derek, I wouldn't imagine Derek right away is the kind of player where you're like, wow, he's amazing, because he's not hitting bombs in BP.
Right.
He's a fluid athlete, but he's not like Ricky. What was your first impression of Derek Jeter? And did you ever think that he, I mean, what, there's no way you thought he could become this.
Well, I mean, at the time he took over in spring training for Tony Fernandez, they were trying to trade for somebody else, a veteran guy, and send Derek.
Oh, well, what was his name? I remember Felix Vermeer.
Felix
Vermeer.
Right?
Felix Vermeer. Give me some.
Yeah,
I remember that. Felix Vermeer.
Yeah, I think they wanted a veteran shortstop, but they gave Derek a chance. And he didn't have a great spring to begin with. He was hitting the ball good, playing decent defense and stuff, whatever. And he makes the team, and they decided to, you know, hit him in the ninth spot. And opening day, he hits a home run. And all of a sudden, his confidence level, he's never wavered with confidence. He's always had confidence no matter what. He hits that home run on opening day, and from that point on, it was like he was going to be a star. I mean, he was making plays on defense. He was getting clutch hits his whole entire first year. So after the 96 year when he won Rookie of the Year, he won the World Series, I mean, you thought at that point, you know, he could be something special. Again, not a 40 home run guy. Just a really good, solid baseball player all around, base runner, defense.
Yeah. Clutch.
And, clutch. Definitely clutch. I mean, when he came up in the ninth inning of any game in the postseason or in the regular season, no matter who the closer was, he's going to hit the ball hard somewhere and make something happen. So, yeah, he was an amazing player.
You guys had obviously great teams. I mean, look, it was a dynasty, we know, but it was the word team. Wasn't superstars.
Right.
Played the game the right way, played hard, tough group. You watch today's current game? Are you up with
what, I do. I don't watch a whole lot, but I do watch quite a bit, yes.
Like, we, BT and I talk about this all the time. I don't want to knock the players, but I know that you were in coaching a little bit and maybe had an issue with this. Do you feel like the players, like we just had it. Who was it before? Was it Joe maybe himself, or who did we have on after Joe that was saying that the player was
Tom Verducci?
Yeah, right. That it wouldn't work coaching the players the way they need to. Like we questioned Boone being able to get on these guys. Like, well,
right.
You really can't because the players are soft. What do you think of today's game in comparison to your tough teams and those tough days and those Yankee teams where we're at now with the modern day athletes?
Yeah, it was a different era, totally different era. I mean, you know, Joe Torre is as calm as he is. He's not afraid to tell you, hey, you know, get in your face a little bit quietly and, you know, tell something to you, but you can't do that these days. You have, you know, the salaries are nice and big for those guys, the guaranteed contracts, and they won't respond to any of that kind of stuff. They're their own. As a hitting coach, you can teach them to try to hit the ball the other way, but they're going to go up there and try to hit home runs. That's just the way it is because they know that there's a lot of money in home runs. Not a lot of team ball going on. We just played the way we play. It's just the game is fine. It's just a different era. It's just every 10, 20 years it changes, and that's where we are now, and there's a lot of good young players out there. The one guy I love watching is Juan Soto, because Juan Soto is a baseball player. He's a baseball player. He's a guy who chokes up with two strikes. He shortens everything up. He punches the ball the other way with two strikes.
He bunts once in a while.
I mean, the guy is like, he's playing winning baseball, and you hope that rubs off on the rest of the team, because he's up for a big payday coming up, and he's not worried about that. He's doing whatever he can every single day when I watch the games to win the game. I mean, he walks to get Judge up there. He bunts to get Judge up there. He's doing things that the rest of the team should be doing at certain points of the game that they don't do. And if they all bought into what he's doing, they'd score a lot more runs.
Tino, you're in the batter's box, and you've got a choice between 100-mile-per-hour cheese that maybe moves a little bit, a nasty 12-6 deuce that drops, you know, off the table, a changeup, like a Pedro changeup, which must have been, I don't know how the hell anybody ever hit that, that just dives into the floor, or a slider that goes from a righty that goes right at your back, right at your ankles. What's the toughest pitch to hit?
Well, you know, 100-mile-an-hour fastball straight is not hard to hit.
Yeah, you'd clobber those.
Those are fine. But when they have movement on them, sink a little bit or cut a little bit, those are tough. Like Mariano Rivera. I mean, Ron, obviously it's a great, not the right guy to like compare anybody to, but his ball moved enough. You knew it was coming. It was 95 miles an hour,
yeah,
94 miles an hour. You knew it was coming. Hard to hit because it had that movement on it, and it was never on the barrel of the bat. Those are the guys that are toughest with movement. Roy Halladay had a sinker, a cutter. You didn't know which way the ball was going to be moving when he threw it. Those are the guys that are tough to hit. But curveballs aren't too bad to hit. The slider, the back leg there, you learn to lay off them because, you know, you can't hit it anyway. So
yeah,
it's a ball usually. But, yeah, I would say the easiest one to hit, any player would say it, is a straight fastball, no matter what the velocity is.
Yeah, I mean, hitting is like, and you get ready to play golf, and it's funny, you would tell them you play righty, not lefty, which I find interesting. But hitting is such a high rate of failure. I mean, even for players, anybody that makes the majors, I mean, you were a stud even the worst player, relatively worst, on any roster was a stud in high school, stud at JUCO, just a stud. Is there a point, even at that level, where you're in the batter's box and you're like, no matter what I do, I am so lost right now, I can't square this ball up? Like, can a professional hitter get that deep in their head where they can't even do something they've done forever?
Yeah, I mean, it's like everything else, you know. It's more like seeing the ball. If you don't pick up the ball right away, you're in trouble. You're going to be off. You're going to be out front. You're going to be late. Your timing's going to be totally off. And then it's just a matter of getting back in your groove again, seeing the ball again, trusting your instincts to hit the ball. But, yeah, it's a long season. You know, you get tired. Some days you're tired, some days you're not. It's just a hard grind that you just got to deal with throughout the year. But, yeah, you can go through funks like that, but you can also get out of them pretty quickly.
BT and Sal here on the Fan Talk with Tino Martinez. We're live at the Joe Torre Safe at Home Foundation Celebrity Golf and Tennis Classic here. I asked your former skipper this before, Tino, so I'll ask you. Subway Series, I mean, the Mets just pummeled the Yankees. I don't recall, and I was at the very first one in 1997, was at the World Series, all those different things. I don't recall it being non-competitive from a Yankees side of things the way that this Subway Series was this year. Matter of fact, the only other time the Mets have swept an entire season series was 2013. How do you think this would have gone down had the Mets pummeled you guys the way that they've done the current Yankees when you were playing?
Well, there would have been quite a few people fired. There would be some guys been traded. The boss would not have accepted that. He would not have accepted that little middle of the season three-game series we played back then.
Yeah. Wish your son wouldn't accept it. Well, that would be nice.
I mean,
I do.
Again, you know, it's a different game. It's different. The player's different. The boss is unique. He was unique. He would not accept that. I mean, you lose to the Mets, you lose to the Red Sox, so you get swept by the Red Sox, something's going to happen. You know something's going to happen. It's just the way it was.
You think there's a lack of accountability in the Yankee organization right now to a fault?
Well, I mean, you know, they have a good team. They have a very good team out there. They're just not performing like they should. They did early in the season, and it's tough. You go into funks like hitting as well throughout the year, and they're kind of in one of those spots right now where they're hitting, they're not hitting. It's just you got to go through that and fight through it. So hopefully they can get out of it. But you know, they know everybody on the teams. You know, their jobs are safe. They don't have to worry about anything.
The Yankees obviously going to try to upgrade their team at the trade deadline. I know you're with the Marlins organization. We referenced that before. Any experience with Jazz Chisholm? There were some reports that were saying that maybe the Yankees were worried about how he would fit in to their clubhouse. You have any dealings or encounters with him that you would?
I did not. I didn't have any encounters with him. But I do know that when guys do come over and get traded to the Yankees, they seem to buy into the Yankee way of doing things, work hard, play team ball. And I'm sure he'll be the same way, and I'm sure he would flourish here because he's a very flashy guy that loves playing in front of people. So if you like playing in front of big crowds and in tough situations, this is the place to be.
I feel like I know what you mean, that when you come to the Yankees, you conform. And I'm not saying that it wouldn't be applicable here, but I feel like it was more applicable back in the day.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and I like Aaron Boone, but Torrey's presence and O'Neill's presence, your presence, Posada's presence, Derek's presence. I'm not saying that Chisholm would be a nightmare here.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, but I don't know that they would, whether he or somebody else that might not be a great personality fit, would just snap into the Yankee way as quickly today as they used to, because I think the Yankee way is very different than it used to be. Is that unfair?
It's not unfair. No, it's totally different. Yeah, it's different. You know, a Judge does a good job of trying to keep the team together and play hard and stuff like that. Like, you know, they're not too much of a flashy team of pimping home runs and all that kind of stuff. And It's different, but I think, you know, when you get a chance to nothing against the Miami Marlins there, because they're not really a playoff contender. Sometimes they are, but to go to a team that has a chance to win the World Series, your attitude changes. You're going to be a little bit more accountable, and hopefully, if he does come here, he'll want to buy into that and try to win a World Series.
Makes sense, Tino. We're going to let you run. I know you're getting ready to tee off in a moment. Tino Martinez, of course. This is real quick. This will be fun. All right. Okay. Putting you on the grill with the Yankees here. He's going to show up for Old Timers Day. If he says the wrong thing, they're going to say, get lost. Nah, I'm just kidding. All right, so the answer has to be a former Yankee. Number one, one person you could tee it up and play 18 holes with. What former Yankee player are you going to tee it up with? One person.
One former player that I would tee it up with.
That you'd really want to play golf with for 4 hours.
That I played with, the guy I played with?
Yep, had to be a former teammate.
Oh, man, I would say probably Jorge Posada.
All right, Jorge. Shout out to Posada. Love him.
Hip, Jorge!
That's right. Number two, a really, really nice, rare bottle of wine or two. You had to knock it back with somebody. Which former Yankee would you choose to, of course, not drive in? Who would you knock it back with?
Bernie Williams.
Bernie! Hey, quick answer. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Okay. Last one. You're in a bar fight, not now, when you're younger, okay? And somebody's got to have you back, and you're not really outnumbered, so it's pretty much 2-on-2, and, you know, it's all fair as long as you have somebody you could throw with you. Who do you want having you back in that foxhole in that situation?
Daryl Strawberry.
Daryl!
I was going to say Graham Lloyd. I mean, my goodness.
Daryl Strawberry, man.
Oh, that's great.
Daryl.
That's awesome.
Daryl's the best.
Ah, he
Come
is.
On,
we
Tino.
Love him.
What? It was a strike. Stop. It was a strike.
No,
Langston,
no, no, the 3-2 pitch was a strike. It was right, belt high. That was a strike.
Yes. And then it wound up off the facade.
That was a strike. Yes.
Tino, God bless you, brother. You look awesome, man.
Thank you, guys.
Number
Thank you guys.
24,
Thank you guys.
Tino Martinez. We got a quick timeout. Bogus with the update. We'll come back from Sleepy Hollow. It is BT and Sal right here on The Fan.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call The Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back here on The Fan. We're the top story, The Crown, right here. Get back to the calls as well as we're hanging out at Joe Torre's outing up Sleepy Hollow, the Safe at Home Foundation. Matt Tino was just perfect for this team at that time. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the interview. We got a few more for you. Well, hopefully you enjoy the interview more than you enjoy the Yankee team. Now, obviously, it's the Yankees and then it's the Mets. So I'm going to fuse the both of them here and say what I've kind of felt for a little bit. I just don't know how you would ignore this anymore. When you get waxed by the combined score 36-13, they've lost in the four-game series to the Mets. They've lost 22 out of 32 last night, or during the series, pardon me. 2-for-19 with runners in scoring position. You know, the Mets were able to manipulate it as such that they threw four lefties to start. Manaea twice, Quintana, Peterson, obviously. Four combined runs. I mean, what? I mean, come on. There's small samples, and then there's evidence that just tells you there's big issues, and that's the Yankees. And then there's evidence to the contrary, where they just show you enough, despite it in the early stages not feeling real. And I admit, I wasn't buying the Mets. I'm still not buying them as a World Series team, but I'm certainly buying them as a viable playoff team. And, you know, as Sal was saying earlier, certainly don't want to speak for him, but, you know, the Mets have now crossed the bridge, I think, in pretty much everybody's opinion, without being reckless and giving away young pieces of the future. You got a chance to do something to fortify this team to make a move this year. You go and do it.
But if you're going to buy the Yankees as a legit World Series team, then you have to buy the Mets as a legit
starting pitching. That's the one difference.
But they could go get one.
I understand that.
Okay. So, and by the way, the Mets have been performing all year long without their best starting pitcher, who comes back tomorrow against Atlanta.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Yankees starting pitching hasn't been good as of late. It was different. Now, you want to say, who do you trust more? You know, you trust Marcus Stroman, okay, to be solid. You trust Carlos Rodon or Luis Severino the rest of the way?
Severino a little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like
Severino.
Rodon. And Luis Hill, I would give you Luis Hill, but we don't know about
when do they shut him down,
right?
Or change his role? Yeah, I got you.
And yes, Gerrit Cole, I trust more than anybody in the Mets, obviously. But he's been getting pounded here. So he had a couple of good starts, and maybe he's compromised and trying not to look at his pitch selection and a lot of stuff they're making a big deal about. Mm. Maybe he's trying not to
avoid certain pitches, less torque on the elbow.
Okay,
maybe.
But then now you have a compromised Gerrit Cole, and I'm not knocking Gerrit Cole, and I do love him and trust that he'll be okay, but something's obviously off a little bit. So if that's going to be your argument, starting pitching, that's why you trust the Yankees. Well, I'll say, okay, but the Mets have a much better offense. Their lineup is much better.
They definitely do. Well, I'm not going to push back on that.
And you can't even say, look at the National League. All right, well, yeah, the Phillies and Dodgers, sure, but the way the baseball is in the playoffs, like, my point is, if you're going to say the Yankees at this point, who have been the second worst team in baseball since June 7th, if they should be buyers because they can win a World Series, how come I can't say that the best team in baseball since June 7th shouldn't be big-time buyers because then they, too, can be competing?
No, you absolutely should.
Right.
If you did, I would be disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm not pushing back on that. And by the way, just to be clear, this Yankees team is going nowhere. Like, anything that we say about what the Yankees could do, what they might, it is all under the strong belief, otherwise Cashman colossally failed, that they bring in multiple big pieces. Not ancillary, little backup, second baseman. Oh, he could play three or four positions. We could put him in left and Verdugo's in a slump and he's going to hit 240. I mean horses. I mean studs. I mean dogs. I mean Chisholm. I mean McMahon from Colorado. I mean stud pitchers. Like, there are things to do, and now it's the time to do it.
I'm getting the sense, and I was talking with Andy Martino about this yesterday. He's reporting and all that stuff. So it's not just opinion. It's based off of his reporting. The Yankees are prioritizing pitching.
I don't agree that they should.
Me neither. But the point is, it doesn't mean that they're not going to get a bat, but they're prioritizing pitching. So let's say the big all-in move is going to be pitching, whether it's a power arm in the pen or a starter in their rotation, and then they rely on, well, Giancarlo's coming back, well, Volpe will get going, well, Dominguez. Like, that to me is the wrong thing to do with the Yankees.
I do agree with that. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal here on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Let's get back to you guys here. How about Mike in Darien, Connecticut? What's happening, Mikey?
Hey, guys. Great show today. Had a quick story. I don't know if it's true. You had Joe Torre on earlier. He's like, he was my idol when I was growing up. I'm 62 years old. But I had heard once that when he was manager of the Mets, that the Mets were thinking of not picking Darryl Strawberry with the one pick. And Torre, who was the most credible person in the organization at the time, walked in and said, "If you don't pick this guy, I'm walking."
I don't know that story either. I mean, wow, that's a pretty brazen move on the part of Joe Torre, and we love Joe, but it's not like Joe had a lot of wins on the resume with the Mets to have that kind of a flex, but you certainly appreciate his baseball instincts. I can't refute the story. I can't confirm it. It wouldn't surprise me, given Joe's penchant for being able to identify talent and knowing the game. I mean, just imagine seeing Darryl Strawberry, all right, at the age of 17, 6'6", 185 pounds probably back then, long levers, lean, explosive. He used to pitch and throw 90, hitting bombs with a metal bat. Who the hell wouldn't draft him?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I
don't know that story. And by the way, we did, in fact, have Joe Torre on. Check it out, the free Odyssey app, in case you missed anything so far. We've had a lot of good guests. Joe Torre started us off at 10:20, so go back and check that out. But, yeah, I mean, I never heard that. I would be surprised if he had that much say back at that point as far as who they're drafting.
Yeah, that's why I kind of push back a little bit, but not entirely sure. Mark's in Connecticut with BT and Sal. Mark, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Good.
How are you?
Good. So I wrote a short poem for you, BT, and for all the Yankee fans out there that are having a little bit of trouble accepting this new this new reality. So I got that. I'm going to read that for you real quick, and then I got
to read it slow. I want to be able to decipher line for line. Go ahead.
Here you go.
All right.
Time to wake up and look through the prism.
We can't be doing.
He was talking about jazz.
I understand what he was talking about here, but I get the boss staring at me today. I probably would have let that one slide, but I'm not sure.
I mean, he was, you know.
Well, he's talking about player additions, whatever. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the creative
call back and give Hop the rest of the poem off the air, because I'm curious to hear.
I wanted to see where it was going to. Steve's in Wanto. Just certain things you can't say. What's up, Steve? How you doing today?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
All right, dude. What do you got?
Yeah, just to sort of piggyback, I didn't make a poem or anything, but I think maybe they should bring in Jazz Chisholm and Josh Bell together. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I mean, I don't know, Josh Bell at this point. I get it. I mean, I don't want to turn this into 1995 radio where you just start throwing names out. The bottom line, and not that there aren't names to be thrown out, but I don't want to just take call after call incessantly. Everybody knows, listen, we've been player-specific enough. I know I have been for a while with McMahon and Chisholm. Here I am saying the names myself. But it's more about the overall concept and identifying. Now, doesn't mean everybody has to agree with me, but I think that most objective, rooted-in-reality Yankee fans, and even though I'm a little nuts, I consider myself in that category, they absolutely must take a borderline wrecking ball to this roster and make massive moves.
Right, but how do you do that at the trade deadline?
You give up the kids.
A wrecking ball to the roster?
You give up the kids.
Oh, man.
You got to do something that you've been very reluctant and reticent to do over the years, and you got to give up the kids.
I just think that would be so foolish right now. And also, to me, bottom line, yeah, they need additions, okay? And they will add something or some things to this team. But ultimately, if Volpe is not what they expected him to be, they've got no shot. Ultimately, if Verdugo is not competing at a high level, they've got no shot. I mean, you need, all right, let's say Verdugo isn't. Then you need Dominguez to come back, stay healthy, and produce the way that he was producing for the 7 games that we've seen him in his big league career. In addition to having Giancarlo Stanton come back, stay healthy, and produce the way that he was producing the start of the year. It's just not going to happen. All that stuff is not going to happen in addition to the moves that they need to make. And then have Gerrit Cole get back to where he was at. I mean,
you know what just struck me as you said Verdugo's name? I mean, think about how much has changed. We went from, you know, me doing these ridiculous home run calls.
How do you do?
to... Get lost. You hit a .190 the last 30 games, whatever it is. Oh,
hey,
my goodness.
Hey, by
gracious.
The way, you bring up a good point, BT, because I forgot I wanted to mention this.
Oh, yeah.
What? I haven't heard the dogs barking in a while.
But I never got into that.
No, but people did. Are the Yankees, are they still dogs?
They're poodles.
What happened? Those dogs? Yeah.
They're poodles who
I said. The puppy dog pals is more their theme than anything. I mean, come on.
I think Paw Patrol at this point. At least Paw Patrol pushes back and fights
a little
bit. What
happened? Verdugo was barking as loud as anybody. Those dogs out there, haven't heard the bark and no bite with those Yankees.
No bite. Absolutely not.
Who let the dogs out?
I'll tell you, they're definitely mutts lately, that's for sure. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yankees box office blitz here on The Fan as we give away a pair of field-level tickets to see the Bombers take on the Toronto Blue Jays over at the stadium coming up on Saturday, August 3rd. Maybe Vladdy's going to be in pinstripes by then. Right now, call the number 1-866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. That's your chance to win. And it's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and The Fan. Make sure you guys jump in again and listen tomorrow for another chance to win same time right here with your buddies BT and Sal. All right, 888-808-1019. I got to tell you, Sal, I am a little disappointed in you.
What? What'd I do now?
So yesterday, you know, not to make a massive deal out of it, it's like it's 10 or 20 years. All right,
yeah.
But we made it through a year, and
yes,
it's awesome, and we love the direction of the show, and a lot of people were like, oh, these personalities going to work. It's going to work, and we knew it would, and it is working. But if you told me a year ago that 1 year from 1 year ago,
yeah,
the Yankees would get mopped by the tune of 36-13 combined, 4 games to your Mets.
Yes.
Yankees win none, Mets win 4. And this almost docile version of Sal Licata would show up the next day. I'd be like, Who the hell is this imposter?
Would you be docile? I was yelling when we started the show. We're also at a golf event.
So what?
I mean, Joe Torre's 5 feet away. You think I'm going to be yelling, "Hey, Joe, Yankees suck"? Like, what do you want me to do?
I mean, but Joe's not here now.
Yeah.
They're all on the golf course.
Oh, you know, I
thought the needle would be big.
I mean, I said flat out, the Yankees are dead and the Mets killed them. What more do you want than that? I mean, that's it. And
I don't want
that coming back in my face when the Yankees go out there and win the World Series. Oh, the Cubs said they were dead on July 24th. Look, since then, they've been the best team in baseball, because you know that's going
to
happen.
Just add it to the resume. Yeah, the NL East is over.
Right now, I'm honestly as excited for this Mets-Braves series as I've been.
You should be.
That's the team I want because it's personal. Because of the NL East is over thing,
yep.
They came back. The Braves themselves, whether it's that stupid mascot, whether it's somebody in the Tyler Matzik, whether it's him in the clubhouse calling me out personally, oh, is the division over? No, now the division's over. Well, guess what? The Braves have let that big 10-game cushy lead slip away.
Yeah,
it's just a
slender
game and a half. The Mets are rolling. The Braves are coming back down to the pack, and I hope the Mets, I hope they bury them and sweep them four games, but even 3 out of 4 would get the job done, so I'm really excited about this.
And you should be, and you're consistent on the air today. I saw some of those tweets you were firing off last night. Now, you know, now it's about Atlanta, bring on the Braves. Yeah. I love it. I just do have one more question before we get back to these calls. Is there any chance that we get a little post over the next few days with you maybe wearing the Braves jersey with Maddox, Maddox the dog?
That was years ago. That was a pandemic year. I told you, I didn't mind the Braves. Yeah, I still had those jerseys. Fred McGriff, one of my all-time favorites.
I know, though. I loved him, too. And he hurt my team as well.
Two dogs I've had in my life. McGriff, one was named McGriff after the crime dog, and the current one is named Maddox.
And 2 years when your daughter, who will be 5 at that point, she's going to beg for another one. You have Acuna, so you make it a little trio.
No, that's crossing a line.
All right, let's get back to the calls here.
Chipper, maybe. But
there you go. How about Bruce in Brooklyn? What's cooking there, Bruce?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, you know, you two are scintillating every day. I mean, you're really consistently amazing. I got to tell you that.
Very kind.
Thank you, Bruce. No problem. I got two questions for you. I'd like to get them both in if I can.
Go ahead.
What happens when Mendy wins a World Series before Boone does? How do you think that will affect things? And secondly, I was watching the game on ESPN last night, and they did an interview with Iglesias while he was on the field. I mean, between pitches, he was answering questions about his life and his career.
They do that
and
all the time. That's a regular thing on Sunday Night Baseball or ESPN broadcast.
Yep.
Oh,
I remember
wow.
they did it last year with Juan Soto in the in the outfield. I forget which game it was. Thank you for the call there. Oh, yeah, that's pretty common. I mean, do I think it's a little distracting? Whatever. I think anything that takes, given today's climate, where we are, the clicks and the immediacy of content, I think anything that could just deliver something behind the curtain for a fan, I think is awesome. Now, let's address the first thing.
What is this gentleman doing right over here, BT? Can you tell me? I can't see. My eyes, the glare is there. What is this gentleman doing?
Well, it looks like he's got the unfortunate job of sweeping up Joe
Torre. He broke out the broom! He's sweeping! Yes!
Now, is that a Mets fan? Who is that?
Oh, obviously. I mean, obviously he's a Mets fan.
One of the workers here. Let's go. Put the headsets on. Let's go.
Put the headsets on.
You can't just jump into our frame and then disappear. We need some credentials here. Nobody can hear you, sir. Let's get the headset set up there. His name is Dan, and he's Natalie attired. Looks like he knows the place here.
You have to yell.
This is what I do for a living. Do you have to sweep?
I see you brought the broom over. That's I'm assuming because of the Mets, correct?
Yeah, let's adjust that down there.
100%.
Yeah. Danny.
Okay, just stick it to BT here, and then we can 100%. Move on.
Yeah, we can move on. It doesn't seem like this, I don't know if Danny's ready to chop
it up.
So
here's my thing about the Mets this year.
Okay.
They were 0-5.
Mm-hmm.
I was calling my buddies up, telling them I'm done with them, not watching them anymore. I'm finished. And all of a sudden, so here's my rally cry for the year. Why not us?
Well, I like it.
But that's not original, Dan.
Yeah, who cares? It's his.
Why not us?
And he broke out the broom.
Can you latch out of something that 30,000 other teams haven't used, Dan? Come on. Why not us? Everybody says that.
You know,
why not us?
I was thinking about this.
Why can't it be us?
I was thinking about
why not
this.
Us?
And, Dan, thank you for the broom. We really appreciate it. We appreciate the couple minutes. Let's go, Mets.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. I appreciate it.
I was thinking about this.
Dan, good luck to you, Mets, buddy. Seriously.
How sweet would it be? Because the caller just brought it up before. How sweet would it be to have the Mets take. And remember, I was mocking them. Oh, you're taking, you're hiring Mendoza, Aaron Boone's lackey.
Yes,
what are you doing?
Did. Even the Bader picking a hit. The Severino move.
Clearly, yep. Mendoza, and I'm not trying to disrespect Boone because I do like Boone and this is not his problem, but Mendoza has, to me, shown things as a manager that I haven't seen in Aaron Boone since he's been a big league manager. And by the way,
oh, that's a fast reaction.
No, it's
man.
Not.
Yes, Aaron Boone's won over 100 times, three times.
What was Boone's resume before he got the job?
He was pretty good in the booth.
Yeah, okay. And Mendoza was an actual manager.
I like Mendoza, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, so they make it seem like you see
the difference in a guy who's been a baseball lifer, working his way up, managing, trying to get this opportunity, and how sweet would it be for the Mets to get him away from the Yankees in a spot where the Yankees are going to find themselves looking for a manager potentially next year.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And the Mets stole their guy away, and he's looking to be a great manager.
Well, I don't think they stole him away. I think if the Mets – now, it might work out better for the Mets down the road than the Yankees. I'm not saying that it can't. I'm not saying that it won't. I don't think they stole him because I think if the Yankees really valued him enough, they would have fired Boone last year or before that. So they knew what he was about. They had him in the building. Let's address quickly before we break. So – not Dan the sweeper, the broom man, the previous call.
Yeah.
He brought up Mendy, you know, maybe winning the World Series before Boone. Here's the thing. If the Yankees don't make multiple upgrades, as I've said a million times, the Yankees are not winning the World Series this year. And at that point, Aaron Boone will be fired. He will not be back. I think that that's fair. And at this point, I think it will be justified. And I've defended Boone and I like Boone. But at that point, you got to switch it up. So if the Yankees don't win it this year, I would place money on Mendy to win it before the Yankees, because Boone's not going to be around.
Well, but that's the point. And the Mets, though, found themselves a great manager that the Yankees could have had be their manager. But they chose to have him as the bench coach. And when you do that, you risk losing him. And they suck with Aaron Boone. I'm not trying to knock Boone.
I know you're not.
But I think Mendoza's a better manager.
Yeah, again, it's early to say that.
He holds
his
guys
so
accountable.
Early.
He's gone through more adversity with the way that the Mets started 0-5, fell to 11 games under 500. All the LOL Mets, the Mets stink, no talent, this and that. He's gone through the Diaz suspension. He's gone through all that already. He hasn't even managed a year in New York and being with the Mets. I mean, and this guy's been around the big leagues for a long time, been in the lower levels managing, handles the media, hold guys accountable, is transparent. I love everything about Mendoza.
888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the Fan. Although, let's be honest here, if the Mets would have actually gotten their way, Craig Counsell will be the manager, not Mendoza. So
no, I don't think they want Counsell.
Let's not make it seem Counsell didn't want the Mets. Let's not make it seem like
Mets didn't want to pay.
I understand that, yeah. But Craig Counsell has never come to the Mets. And again, I like Mendoza. He might wind up being the next version of Davey Johnson and here a lot longer and do a lot better. I'm not saying he can't, but the Mets wanted Craig Counsell. Craig Counsell did not want the Mets.
Oh, wait, how do you know that?
I just know it because everybody knows it. So think about this.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. I know it. Trust me, I know it. So think about this.
No. People that actually like report on this stuff.
Yeah, I'm not trying to pretend that I'm a reporter. I'm not. But
well, I'm saying, but I talk to people that
I got
do.
You. This is basic stuff. The Mets wanted Craig Counsell. They didn't want them.
The Mets never made Craig Counsell an offer.
But they had overtures and conversations. Craig Counsell.
Are they doing? They're interviewing people for the job.
No. I get that. And you do your due diligence.
Just like Stu Gatz.
We never
wanted him.
I know. That's funny.
They never offered him the job.
That is funny. Yeah. But the Mets zeroed in on Counsell before they zeroed in on Mendoza.
So
let's not make it seem like Mendoza was choice one. Right. He was choice 1A or 1B or 2, whatever.
He's here.
It doesn't matter. They got him. He's here. Understood. All right. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal here on The Fan.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is our number. Obviously, it's been a great fun day here at Joe Torre's Save at Home Foundation outing. Joe stopped by, and we had him and his lovely, amazing wife, Allie, on for, I'd say, a good 30 minutes or so. So if you guys happen to miss it, and we got into the David Wells stuff, and when we had Boomer on the show the other day, we actually played it for Joe and got Joe's live reaction. So that was really awesome. Talked about the memories and the current state of the game and the current state of the Yankees, all that stuff. So if you missed it, free Odyssey app. Let's go hit rewind the or YouTube WFAN. It's going to be all over there, so we'll get you that. Let's get back to the calls. Obviously, me and Sal have been going back and forth about a multitude of Yankee Met issues today. How about Tommy and Bethpage? Tommy, it's BT and Sal. What's going on, bud?
Hey, guys, one question and one point. My question would be this. If the Yankees weren't gift-wrapped the best player in Major League Baseball last fall, and they did not have Juan Soto, where would they be right now?
What do you mean gift-wrapped the best player? I don't understand what you mean.
I'm saying, well, Cashman got Juan Soto in November. If they did not get Cashman and they stayed at $270 million, where would they be right now?
I don't know. They'd be probably less good and more boring.
Yeah, they'd probably be seven or eight games
they'd
back.
They'd be last year's team is what they'd be.
Okay, so my point would be that, to me, you know, Jerry Jones of the Cowboys wears two hats, general manager and owner.
Yeah, he loses
Brian Cashman,
both of them.
Right, Brian Cashman is – no, he wins 12 games every year.
Hey, Lou, he hasn't won a Super Bowl since the 90s.
Right, and all right, 2009 is 15 years ago, too. My point is Brian Cashman is the Jerry Jones general manager of the New York Yankees. He can't keep getting away with this. Because, BT, you're saying go out there and give out the young guys, get two new guys. Cashman gets so many iterations of turning over the roster.
I know.
2009 isn't the 90s, but it's not around the corner. It's 15 years ago.
I'm actually with you on that stuff, Tommy. I truly am. Thank you for the call. Now, I mean, I remember where I first really started to change my tune aggressively on Brian Cashman is when, you know, Brett Gardner, who we have massive respect for, not a great player, but a good Yankee, obviously, when he was like the main lefty source of power. How could you be the general manager of the New York Yankees with a fence that has in big white lettering 314 feet away from home plate and be bereft of left-handed power?
Right.
Which is how the Yankees have always won, going back to Mantle and Maris and Nettles and Reggie and everybody else in between. Like, it was such a dereliction of such a basic baseball principle. I didn't know what he was doing, and that's when I started jumping on him.
And they got away from that, obviously, and then they tried to make up for it, and they were kind of chasing their own tail. Same thing, like, oh, yeah, let's go trade for Rizzo and Gallo, and it worked to a certain extent, but even those
didn't work, meaning
that they made the playoffs that year. Eh. And that really, to me, was the beginning of what should have been the end. That was 2021. Post-pandemic, off a year where Luke Voit was their MVP in the pandemic season, and then again in the postseason, their best players did nothing. They got eliminated by Tampa Bay. 2021 was the first time that they struggled in the regular season, and everybody started screaming for Cashman and screaming for Boone. Where are the lefties? Blah, blah, blah. Then they went in at that trade deadline, traded for Gallo, traded for Rizzo, made the postseason, lost in the wild card round. That was the year, to me, that they shouldn't have made those trades. The Yankees should have fired Cashman and Boone and started from scratch going into 2022.
Yeah. But yeah, you have said that. And
well, that was the beginning.
Not wrong.
Yeah, and now you're going back years. So think about if you did that years ago where the Yankees might be now.
Could be worse, though, to be fair to both men. Could be worse. There's no guarantee it would have been better.
Yeah, but at least it would have been different.
Different.
And that's what we're looking for. It's not a knock saying that Cashman can't do the job. Clearly he can. He has done it at a high level. It's not a knock on Boone saying he can't be a manager. They needed as an organization change desperately. They didn't. Then they tried to go back to the old ways of getting in players, whatever, and here we are. And they've had some success, but obviously not enough, and not able to sustain it. That's the biggest issue.
How many times, and it's been like this for, you know, 4 or 5 years now, how much longer can we sit here year after year and wonder who's going to hit leadoff? Who's gonna have Judge's back in the lineup? Every single year they've got to recreate the lineup.
Well, but they thought they had a leadoff hitter. Do you know who they thought the leadoff hitter was this year?
No,
DJ LeMahieu. That's who they. Yes, he got hurt, and they were saying, okay, well, LeMahieu's hurt, and then the conversation became, well, at what point are they going to put Volpe there? So the Yankees, the big bad New York Yankees, went into the season with their plan as DJ LeMahieu being the leadoff hitter.
Yeah, I guess in hindsight, you're probably right about that, which I couldn't stand.
Agreed, you hated it, correctly so. Then he got hurt, And then they were working his way back in, and it was their plan was still always until LeMahieu gets back. Then Volpe started to get hot. Then they moved him.
Didn't Torres bet first opening day?
Maybe.
Labor was
up
there to start.
Remember, Volpe wasn't.
He was down. He was like 6-7.
Yeah. Yep. And then Volpe started to get going.
Yeah.
I was saying that's their best lineup. And then they move Volpe there. And then he was good. Now he struggled. So now they move him down. So their top two plans, LeMahieu, Volpe, have not worked. And by the way, both those guys are currently healthy. And
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yankees box office blitz here on The Fan as we give away a pair of field level tickets. See the Bombers take on the Toronto Blue Jays over at the stadium coming up on Saturday, August 3rd. Maybe Vladdy's going to be in pinstripes by then. Right now, call the number 1-866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. That's your chance to win. And it's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and The Fan. Make sure you guys jump in again and listen tomorrow for another chance to win same time right here with your buddies BT and Sal. All right, 888-808-1019. I got to tell you, Sal, I am a little disappointed in you.
What? What did I do now?
So yesterday, you know, not to make a massive deal out of it, it's like it's 10 or 20 years. All right,
yeah.
But we made it through a year, and
yes,
it's awesome, and we love the direction of the show, and a lot of people were like, oh, these personalities are going to work. It's going to work, and we knew it would, and it is working. But if you told me a year ago that 1 year from 1 year ago,
yeah,
the Yankees would get mopped by the tune of 36-13 combined, four games to your Mets.
Yes.
Yankees win none, Mets win four. And this almost docile version of Sal Licata would show up the next day. I'd be like, who the hell is this imposter?
What do you mean docile? I was yelling when we started the show. We're also at a golf event.
So
here.
What?
I mean, until Torrey's 5 feet away, you think I'm going to be yelling, hey, Joe, Yankees suck. Like, what do you want me to do?
I mean, but Joe's not here now.
Yeah.
They're all on the golf course.
Oh, you know, I
thought the needle would be big.
I mean, I said flat out, the Yankees are dead and the Mets killed them. What more do you want than that? I mean, that's it. And
I don't want
that coming back in my face when the Yankees go out there and win the World Series. Oh, the Cubs said they were dead on July 24th. Look, since then they've been the best team in baseball, because you know that's going
to
happen.
Just add it to the resume. Yeah, the NL East is over.
Right now, I'm as excited for this Mets Braves series as I've been.
You should be.
That's the team I want because it's personal. Because of the NL East is over thing,
yep.
They came back. The Braves themselves, whether it's that stupid mascot, whether it's somebody in the Tyler Matzik, whether it's him in the clubhouse calling me out personally, oh, is the division over? No, now the division's over. Well, guess what? The Braves have let that big 10-game cushy lead slip away.
Yeah,
it's just a
slender
game and a half. The Mets are rolling. The Braves are coming back down to the pack, and I hope the Mets, I hope they bury them and sweep them four games, but even three out of four would get the job done, so I'm really excited about this.
And you should be, and you're consistent on the air today. I saw some of those tweets you were firing off last night. Now, you know, now it's about Atlanta, bring on the Braves.
Yeah.
I love it. I just do have one more question before we get back to these calls. Is there any chance that we get a little post over the next few days with you maybe wearing the Braves jersey with Maddox, Maddox the dog?
That was years ago. That was a pandemic year. I told you, I didn't mind the Braves. Yeah, I still had those jerseys. Fred McGriff, one of my all-time favorites.
I know, though. I loved it, too. And he hurt my team as well.
Two dogs I've had in my life. McGriff, one was named McGriff after the crime dog, and the current one is named Maddox.
And 2 years when your daughter, who will be five at that point, she's going to beg for another one. You have Acuna, so you make it a little trio.
No, that's crossing a line.
All right, let's get back to the calls here.
Chipper, maybe. But
there you go. How about Bruce in Brooklyn? What's cooking there, Bruce?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, you know, you two are scintillating every day. I mean, you're really consistently amazing. I got to tell you that.
Very kind.
Thank you, Bruce. No problem. I got two questions for you. I'd like to get them both in if I can.
Go ahead.
What happens when Mendy wins a World Series before Boone does? How do you think that will affect things? And secondly, I was watching the game on ESPN last night, and they did an interview with Iglesias while he was on the field.
I mean, between pitches, he was answering questions about his life and his career.
They do that
and
all the time. That's a regular thing on Sunday Night Baseball or ESPN broadcast.
Yep.
Oh,
I remember
wow.
They did it last year with Juan Soto in the outfield. I forget which game it was. Thank you for the call there. Oh, yeah, that's pretty common. I mean, do I think it's a little distracting? Whatever. I think anything that takes, given today's climate, where we are, the clicks and the immediacy of content, I think anything that could just deliver something behind the curtain for a fan, I think is awesome. Now, let's address the first thing.
What is this gentleman doing right over here, BT? Can you tell me? I can't see. My eyes, the glare is there. What is this gentleman doing?
Well, it looks like he's got the unfortunate job of sweeping up Joe
Torre. He broke out the broom! He's sweeping!
Yeah, fantastic. Yes! Yeah. Now, is that a Mets fan? Who is that?
Oh, obviously. I mean, obviously he's a Mets fan.
Sure.
One of the
come
workers here.
Let's go. Put the headsets on. Let's go.
Put the headsets on.
You can't just jump into our frame and then disappear. We need some credentials here. Nobody can hear you, sir. Let's get the headset set up there. His name is Dan, and he's Natalie attired. Looks like he knows the place here.
Do you have to yell?
This is what I do for a living. Do you have to sweep?
I see you brought the broom over. That's I'm assuming because of the Mets, correct?
Yeah, let's adjust that down there.
100%.
Yeah. Danny. Okay, just stick it to BT here, and then we can
100%.
Move on.
Yeah, we can move on. It doesn't seem like this, I don't know if Danny's ready to chop
so
it up.
So here's my thing about the Mets this year.
Okay.
They were 0-5. Mm-hmm. I was calling my buddies up, telling them, I'm done with them, not watching them anymore. And all of a sudden, so here's my rally cry for the year. Why not us?
Well, I like it.
But that's not original, Dan.
Yeah, who cares? It's his.
Why not us?
And he broke out the broom.
Can you latch out of something that 30,000 other teams haven't used, Dan? Come on. Why not us? Everybody says that.
You know,
why not us?
I was thinking about this.
Why can't it be us?
I was thinking about
why not
this.
Us?
And, Dan, thank you for the broom. We really appreciate it. We appreciate the couple minutes. Let's go, Mets.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. I appreciate it.
I was thinking about this.
Dan, good luck to you, Mets, buddy. Seriously.
How sweet would it be? Because the caller just brought it up before. How sweet would it be to have the Mets take? And remember, I was mocking them. Oh, you're hiring Mendoza, Aaron Boone's lackey.
Yes,
what are you doing?
Did. Even the Bader picking on the Severino move.
Clearly, Mendoza, and I'm not trying to disrespect Boone because I do like Boone and this is not his problem, but Mendoza has, to me, shown things as a manager that I haven't seen in Aaron Boone since he's been a big league manager. And by the way,
that's a fast reaction.
No, it's not.
Yes, Aaron Boone's won over 100 times, three times.
What was Boone's resume before he got the job?
He was pretty good in the booth.
Yeah, okay. And Mendoza was an actual manager.
I like Mendoza,
but that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
so
they make it seem like George Bamberger, but
you see the difference in a guy who's been a baseball lifer, working his way up, managing, trying to get this opportunity. And how sweet would it be for the Mets to get him away from the Yankees in a spot where the Yankees are going to find themselves looking for a manager potentially next year.
Well, yeah.
And the Mets stole their guy away, and he's looking to be a great manager.
Well, I don't think they stole him away. I think if the Mets – now, it might work out better for the Mets down the road than the Yankees. I'm not saying that it can't. I'm not saying that it won't. I don't think they stole him because I think if the Yankees really valued him enough, they would have fired Boone last year or before that. So they knew what he was about. They had him in the building. Let's address quickly before we break. So – not Dan the sweeper, the broom man, the previous call.
Yeah.
He brought up Mendy, maybe winning the World Series before Boone. Here's the thing. If the Yankees don't make multiple upgrades, as I've said a million times, the Yankees are not winning the World Series this year. And at that point, Aaron Boone will be fired. He will not be back. I think that's fair. And at this point, I think it will be justified. And I've defended Boone and I like Boone. But at that point, you got to switch it up. So if the Yankees don't win it this year, I would place money on Mendy to win it before the Yankees, because Boone's not going to be around.
Well, but that's the point. And the Mets, though, found themselves a great manager that the Yankees could have had be their manager. But they chose to have him as the bench coach. And when you do that, you risk losing him. And they suck with Aaron Boone. I'm not trying to knock Boone.
I know you're not.
But I think Mendoza's a better manager.
Yeah, again, it's early to say that.
He holds his guys
so
accountable.
Early.
He's gone through more adversity with the way that the Mets started 0-5, fell to 11 games under 500. Oh, the LOL Mets, the Mets stink, no talent, this and that. He's gone through the Diaz suspension. He's gone through all that already. He hasn't even managed a year in New York and being with the Mets. I mean, and this guy's been around the big leagues for a long time, been in the lower levels managing, handles the media, hold guys accountable, is transparent. I love everything about Mendoza.
888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the Fan, although let's be honest here, if the Mets would have actually basically got in their way, Craig Counsell will be the manager, not Mendoza.
So no, like, I don't think they
not,
want
no, no, let's not make it seem, no, you know, Counsell didn't want the Mets. Let's not make it seem like...
No, the Mets didn't want
to
pay.
I understand that, but Craig Counsell has never come to the Mets. And again, I like Mendoza. He might wind up being the next version of Davey Johnson and here a lot longer and do a lot better. I'm not saying he can't, but the Mets wanted Craig Counsell. Craig Counsell did not want the Mets.
Oh, wait, how do you know that?
I just know it because everybody knows it. So think about this.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. I know. If I know, trust me, I know it. So think about this.
No. People that actually like report on this stuff.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be. Pretend that I'm a reporter. I'm not. But
well, I'm saying. But I talk to people that
I got
do.
You. This is basic. This is basic stuff. The Mets wanted Craig Counsell. They didn't want them.
The Mets never made Craig Counsell an offer.
But they had overtures and conversations. Craig Counsell.
Are they doing? They're interviewing people for the job.
No. I get that. And you do what you do. Deal with
just like Stu Gotts.
Yeah,
we never wanted him.
I know. That's funny.
They never offered him the job.
That's funny. Yeah. But the Mets zeroed in on Counsell before they zeroed in on Mendoza.
So
let's not make it seem like Mendoza was choice one. Right. He was choice 1A or 1B or 2, whatever.
He's here.
It doesn't matter. They got him. He's here. Understood. All right. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal here on The Fan.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is our number. Obviously, it's been a great fun day here at Joe Torre's Save at Home Foundation outing. Joe stopped by, and we had him and his lovely, amazing wife, Allie, on for, I'd say, a good 30 minutes or so. So if you guys happen to miss it, and we got into the David Wells stuff, and when we had Boomer on the show the other day, we actually played it for Joe and got Joe's live reaction. So that was really awesome. Talked about the memories and the current state of the game and the current state of the Yankees, all that stuff. So if you missed it, free Odyssey app. Let's go hit rewind or YouTube WFAN. It's going to be all over there, so we'll get you that. Let's get back to the calls. Obviously, me and Sal have been going back and forth about a multitude of Yankee Met issues today. How about Tommy and Bethpage? Tommy, it's BT and Sal. What's going on, bud?
Hey, guys. One question and one point. My question would be this. If the Yankees weren't gift-wrapped, the best player in Major League Baseball last fall, and they did not have Juan Soto, where would they be right now?
What do you mean gift-wrapped the best player? I don't understand what you mean.
I'm saying, well, Cashman got Juan Soto in November. If they did not get Cashman and they stayed at $270 million, where would they be right now?
I don't know. They'd be probably less good and more boring.
Yeah, they'd probably be seven or eight games
they'd
back.
They'd be last year's team is what they'd be.
Okay, so my point would be that, to me, you know, Jerry Jones of the Cowboys wears two hats, general manager and owner.
Yeah, and he loses
Brian Cashman,
with both of them.
Brian Cashman is – no, he wins 12 games every year.
Hey, Lou, he hasn't won a Super Bowl since the 90s.
Right, and all right, 2009 is 15 years ago, too. My point is Brian Cashman is the Jerry Jones general manager of the New York Yankees. He can't keep getting away with this. Because, BT, you're saying go out there and give out the young guys, get two new guys. Cashman gets so many iterations of turning over the roster.
I know.
2009 isn't the 90s, but it's not around the corner. It's 15 years ago.
I'm actually with you on that stuff, Tommy. I truly am. Thank you for the call. Now, I mean, I remember where I first really started to change my tune aggressively on Brian Cashman is when, and, you know, Brett Gardner, who we have massive respect for, not a great player, but a good Yankee, obviously, when he was, like, the main lefty source of power. How could you be the general manager of the New York Yankees with a fence that has in big white lettering 314 feet away from home plate and be bereft of left-handed power,
right?
Which is how the Yankees have always won, going back to Mantle and Maris and Nettles and Reggie and everybody else in between. Like, it was such a dereliction of such a basic baseball principle. I didn't know what he was doing, and that's when I started jumping on him.
And they got away from that, obviously, and then they tried to make up for it, and they were kind of chasing their own tail. Same thing, like, oh, yeah, let's go trade for Rizzo and Gallo, and it worked to a certain extent, but even those
didn't work, meaning
that they made the playoffs that year. And that really, to me, was the beginning of what should have been the end. That was 2021. post-pandemic off a year where Luke Voit was their MVP in the pandemic season, and then again in the postseason, their best players did nothing. They got eliminated by Tampa Bay. 2021 was the first time that they struggled in the regular season, and everybody started screaming for Cashman and screaming for Boone. Where are the lefties? Blah, blah, blah. Then they went in at that trade deadline, traded for Gallo, traded for Rizzo, made the postseason, lost in the wild card round. That was the year to me that they shouldn't have made those trades. The Yankees should have fired Cashman and Boone and started from scratch going into 2022.
Yeah, but yeah, you have said that. And
well, that was the beginning. Yeah, and well, and now you're going back years. So think about if you did that years ago, where the Yankees might be now.
Could be worse, though. To be fair to both men, be worse. There's no guarantee it would have been better.
Yeah, but at least it would have been different. And that's what we're looking for. It's not a knock saying that Cashman can't do the job. Clearly, he can. He has done it at a high level. It's not a knock on Boone saying he can't be a manager. They needed, as an organization, change desperately. They didn't. Then they tried to go back to the old ways of getting in players, whatever, and here we are. And they've had some success, but obviously not enough, and not able to sustain it. That's the biggest issue.
How many times, and it's been like this for, you know, 4 or 5 years now, how much longer can we sit here year after year and wonder who's going to hit leadoff? Who's gonna have Judge's back in the lineup? Every single year they've got to recreate the lineup.
Well, but they thought they had a leadoff hitter. Do you know who they thought the leadoff hitter was this year?
No.
DJ LeMahieu. That's who they. Yes, yes, he got hurt, yeah, and they were saying, "Okay, well, LeMahieu's hurt." And then the conversation became, "Well, at what point are they going to put Volpe there?" So the Yankees, the big bad New York Yankees, went into the season with their plan as DJ LeMahieu being the leadoff hitter.
Yeah, I guess then, in hindsight, you're probably right about that. Then, yeah, which I couldn't stand.
Agreed, you hated it. Correctly so. Then he got hurt, and then they were working his way back in, and it was their plan was still always. Until LeMahieu gets back. Then Volpe started to get hot. Then they moved him to
Didn't Torres
spot.
Bet first opening day?
Maybe.
Labor was up there to start.
Remember, Volpe wasn't.
He was down. He was like 6-7.
Yeah. Yep. And then Volpe started to get going. Yeah. I was saying that's their best lineup. And then they move Volpe there. And then he was good. Now, he struggled. So now they move him down. So their top two plans, LeMahieu, Volpe, have not worked. And by the way, both those guys are currently healthy and still not batting leadoff. That's their fault. This is not like out of nowhere a problem has risen. The Yankees, this is their fault. They built this team.
I mean, they haven't had a first baseman in, you know, even go back to Luke Voit. Oh, maybe this will work. Oh, maybe that will work. I mean, man, Lyle Overbay. It's like they're always searching for so many spots. It's really embarrassing how often Brian Cashman has failed. I hate that this comes across as personal and like a vendetta or let me just, you know, just pound Cashman all the time. No, it's not that, but I mean, I'm going to always be as transparent as I can, as is required to do this job the right way. And he is just, he's failing. He is drowning, and he's been drowning for years. I'm sorry. Eric's in Rivervale, BT and Sal on the Fan. Eric, what's going on?
BT, Sal, how are we doing, gentlemen?
What's up, Eric?
Hey, we're good. What's up?
Congratulations, first and foremost. You guys made it a year, which is awesome news, man.
Thank you.
Thanks. For you guys. Yeah, the show's great, and BT, man, I'm right there with you. Sal, I actually have to, I really appreciate and respect where you're coming from today. You've actually been a gentle Mets fan and haven't needled as much as I thought you might. So I appreciate
too gentle.
That as a Yankee fan. Maybe, but it is hard today. I mean, watching this Yankees team is absolutely embarrassing. It really is, and it does go to Cash. I have no idea what he's going to do because there are so many holes and there are so many issues. I'm not having a leadoff guy. You guys just hit that. It's kind of remarkable, and unfortunately, Volpe just doesn't seem like he's going to be the guy. So my question really for you and BT is, like, what do we think Cashman actually can accomplish, right? I mean, we need bullpen arms, right? So is Mason Miller, you know, in the mix? Is Tanner Scott? Are those things realistic?
Yeah, I think they are.
A utility guy, which is absolutely a must. Does that happen as well?
The Yankees, listen, I believe, Eric, thanks for the call. I believe the Yankees need two bats, a flame-throwing high-leverage arm in the bullpen, preferably ninth, so you can then put Clay Holmes eighth. And I, you know, Birdie's going to get back, so he could probably be that versatile bounce-around player. But, yeah, they need so much. And the problem now is that, number one, Yankees have some good prospects, not amazing prospects, I think I saw yesterday Spencer Jones right now is number 73 in all of Major League Baseball. And also,
where was he to start the year?
I don't recall. Okay. Honestly, I don't remember off the top of my head. And he's getting hot a little bit now, but it's like he's a top 10, top 20 all of, you know, prospect in all of baseball. He's interesting, but he's, you know, 73. So the 72 others that are perceived to be better in terms of trajectory and upside. So that's one aspect. The other thing that complicates this is number two, there's a lot of teams vying for the same players.
Right.
And that makes it very unpredictable. Will the Yankees have the appetite to give up whatever's required is one question. And number two from that, do they have what's required to satisfy the demands of the other teams? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, right. We live in this world in our bubble, and it's less now, but it was more so, you know, years ago where it's like, oh, there's a player to be had, top player at the deadline or in free agency, Yankees are going to get him. Yankees are going to get him.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Right. You heard Verducci before we had him on, in case you missed it, check it out on the Free Odyssey app. He doesn't think the Yankees are going to have the package to get Skubal from Detroit.
Yeah.
If the Orioles want him. He mentioned another team. I forget who, but there were two teams that he said that would have a better package than the Yankees even. So, I mean, the Yankees have competition now, real competition. The playing field has been leveled to where you can't expect them to go out and get the best players like we used to.
And now the Yankees are dealing from the absolute worst possible place when it comes to business, desperation. Everybody knows Cashman's, you know, feeling the heat. Boone's feeling the heat. You got to do whatever it takes to, you know, retain Soto. And if Soto wins here, it's probably better increase of the odds for him to stay, provided the money's good. So other teams know that, okay? And you think they're going to make life easy for the Yankees? No. They're going to ask for everything and hold them hostage, and that's dangerous. And the Yankees are desperate, and they might flinch, and they have to. 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan. One more hour to go live at Joe Torre's Safe at Home Foundation Golf Outing. Back on the Fan next.